Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. said, "I have a dream that one day every valley shall be exalted, every hill and mountain shall be made low, the rough places will be made straight, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together." The following reflection is a tribute to Dr. King as a man of faith who believed in the promises of God. This selection is a part of a series recorded in Memphis, Tennessee, in the spring of 2008, the 40th anniversary of the assassination of Dr. King. Thank you for visiting www.explorefaith.org.
My name is Dr. Gina M. Stewart. I serve as pastor of Christ Missionary Baptist Church in Memphis, Tennessee. My memories of Dr. Martin Luther King, my earliest memories, I guess I should say, of Dr. Martin Luther King, occur around the age of 8 years old. I was about 8 years old when I can remember participating in Black Monday marches, and I can remember missing school because of Black Mondays. Because at that time, the civil rights movement had a presence in Memphis due to the garbage worker strike. My next major memory of Dr. Martin Luther King was when his untimely death occurred in Memphis on April 4th, 1968, at the Lorraine Motel in downtown Memphis. I was only 8 years old at the time, and so my thoughts about him and my understanding of his life and ministry have been shaped more in retrospect as opposed to someone who actually journeyed with him during his life. I can truly say, however, that as an African-American female who is also a pastor and who also works and serves in a predominantly male arena, that my life has been significantly impacted because of the way that Dr. King integrated faith and life. One of the first lessons I learned in seminary was that there is no distinction between the secular and the sacred, that all of life is sacred. And I believe that one of the greatest legacies of faith that I have gleaned from the life of Dr. Martin Luther King was his ability to integrate his faith with life, his integration of faith and praxis. For him, the gospel, the message of Jesus Christ, for Dr. King, I should say, the gospel, the message of Jesus Christ had practical and life application, which is one of the reasons why in my reading, because I know him more from his readings and his videos and recordings that I've listened to over and over through the years, and of course, clips that we hear during the celebration of his death and the celebration of his birthday. The more that I listen to those clips and read his books, Strength to Love, Letter from a Birmingham Jail, I can see and glean from those pages the importance of the integration of faith and praxis. It was his faith and his belief in the gospel of Jesus Christ, his sensitivity to the Imago Dei that I believe inspired his struggle for civil rights and even human rights. It was because of what he preached and what he believed in terms of the gospel of Jesus Christ that he was able to not only live out a vision but articulate a vision that would challenge America's conscience, to the point that 40 years later, we're still reciting the words from his speech, I Have a Dream, and listening to his messages, reading his sermons. Dr. Martin Luther King was what I call a public theologian, gifted with tremendous theological insight and tremendous theological depth, but he had a way of taking the gospel and making it public so that all of America had to stand up and take notice. For my own life as a pastor and preacher, that has probably been the greatest gift that I've received, having watched him and looked at his tapes and listened to his sermons. In all of his messages and in all of his sermons, I can see a common thread between the fact that there is no distinction between the sacred and the secular. Whether it was talking about poverty or breaking down race barriers or addressing issues of class and even human and civil rights, his ability to integrate faith with praxis is the thing that continues to shape my faith today. I believe I heard Dr. Scott Morris say that spirituality is not from the neck up. And one of the things that I learned and taken from Dr. King's life is that the gospel that I read and the gospel that I preach should impact the way that I live my life. And it impacts it in a way that sometimes makes life dangerous for us. It was because of his understanding of the gospel and the implications of the gospel that he not only traveled to Birmingham, Alabama, to fight for civil rights, to stand up against segregation. We're all familiar with the Montgomery bus boycott, where Rosa Parks refused to give up her seat, and Dr. King basically came in and gave leadership to that, although there were others, according to history, who had been working behind the scenes before Dr. King arrived. But his ability to come to a place where there was tension and racial hostility and take up the mantle and articulate a vision, not just for the African-American community, but in articulating that vision, issue a challenge to white America that says that there's no way that we can all live in America and half of us be slave and the other be free. Those kinds of challenges, those kinds of risk that King took because of his commitment to faith continue to shape my faith today as a pastor and preacher, and also challenge me as well, because it reminds me that if I'm going to take this gospel seriously, it means I must be willing to step outside of my comfort zone. I must be willing to address issues that are not always popular. I must be willing to do as Dietrich Bonhoeffer said in The Cost of Discipleship. He says that when Jesus calls a man or bids a man, he bids him to die, and that's ultimately what Dr. Martin Luther King did. His commitment to the gospel actually cost him his life. Unfortunately, it was here in Memphis, Tennessee, the city in which I was raised, reared, mentored, and now pastor, that he lost his life. But he lost his life for a cause that I believe he felt was worth dying for. And I'm particularly indebted to Dr. King because I'm one of those who enjoys, if you will, I guess you could say enjoys, or who benefits from the fruit of his commitment to the gospel. Because King believed that there was no distinction between the sacred and the secular, I now live in an America where blacks and whites do worship together, where blacks and whites do attend school together, where blacks and whites can sit down together for table fellowship and eat and enjoy lunch together, and even eat fish pudding at Calvary Episcopal Church. I am a benefactor of Dr. King's commitment to an integrated faith because I was able to attend a University of Memphis, which in 1968, and while there may have been students, black students that attended University of Memphis in 1968, certainly the statistics and the percentage of the African-American population has increased because of his work. The city of Memphis is a better place because, if nothing else, we now know that garbage workers are not just non-human entities, but they were men created in the image of God who are entitled to make livable wages and who were entitled to be treated as human beings who've been created in the imago Dei of God. I am a benefactor of Dr. King's legacy, his commitment to faith, because as a preacher and as a pastor who preaches the gospel, I understand that the preaching moment is not just an opportunity to give those who hear the gospel a placebo, if you will, or an escape from the ills of the world. But the preaching moment, because of what I've learned and gleaned from the life of Dr. Martin Luther King, for me has become a moment to challenge those who sit in the pew and who gather for worship to understand that our call to discipleship carries a cost. And it's a cost that does not always allow us to sit on the margins and wait for history to happen or wait for someone to step up to the plate. But indeed, it calls all of us to continue to take up the mantle as Dr. King did, to help not just make the world a better place, but to work to help make a better world. The other thing that Dr. King's faith does for me is it reminds me of the legacy that we must pass on to our children. As a now 48-year-old African-American woman, I'm concerned about seeing to it that future generations remember and continue to retell and rehearse the story, not just the struggle, but also the victories that have been achieved as a result of Dr. King's commitment to faith. As a pastor, I'm committed to continuing that legacy of integrating faith and practice. And not only that, but trying to transform the people who gather in our sanctuary on Sunday morning, committed to preaching a message of transformation, I should say, to those who gather in our pews on Sunday morning, so that the dream that Dr. Martin Luther King spoke so eloquently about on the steps of Lincoln Memorial, August 24th, 1963, does not die, but is kept alive. And as we reflect on his 40th, the 40th year, I believe, yeah, this is 2008, the 40th year anniversary of his death, it makes me even more committed to continuing the legacy through preaching and practice that he left, not just for Black America, but for all Americans, particularly those of us who are called according to God's purpose.
This reflection was brought to you by explorefaith.org, a nonprofit ministry for anyone seeking a path to God. Please visit us at our website, www.explorefaith.org.